Daniel Kaner, if everybody just came to your shows and there was no issue about that, and they approved of everything you did, and there were no financial pressures, would your show be a different show?
No, I think it would be. I mean, the obvious thing would be to say it would be exactly the same, but it really would be exactly the same. I think I write what I feel I want to write, and to some extent, I suppose, you know, if I'm honest, I am thinking, what will people think of this? But largely, the two things kind of coincide, and I you know, actually, the process of writing starts with a bit of, strangely enough, it's prayer to a sort of non-specific entity. What shall I write? How shall I do it? Will it come out? And it would be the same thing, regardless of whether it's the same thing in the same, you're interviewing me, whether I was being interviewed by, you know, I don't know, Newsnight. It's the same thing.
Something I suppose I've probably heard lots of people say, and I could characterise it, that Jewish people as a wandering nation are split into two categories creatively. Either they just stick close to themselves and never wander creatively very far from whatever they're comfortable with, or they do quite the opposite. They have phases in their life where they go wandering away from themselves and then come back to themselves. What's your journey been?
Well, it's been exactly that. I mean, I was brought up in a very traditional way, and then I had very nothing to do with the Jewish world whatsoever until the sort of, funny if it was a kind of divorce crisis that happened. I went to see a therapist that was the only non-Jewish therapist probably in the world who happened to specialise in lapsed Jews, and he encouraged me to have a look at where I'd come from. So that's why I started drifting back. So, and if we sort of, the question was about creativity. You know, I'd written lots and lots of music and done all sorts of things for television and other big events. And but now the topic is Jewishness. I'd say Judaism, but it's more Jewishness. So that's exactly what has happened. I've wandered away and then wandered back again.
And if you're running for a bus and, you know, it zooms by at the wrong time, are you in that classic Fiddler on the Roof, Teve sort of conversation with God going, you know, why?
No, it's more like my heart, my breath. Yeah, why me? You mean, why, you know, I don't think that my conversations with God are quite so personable as Tevye's. There's a thing going on. It's an it going on, but I don't. It's not a he or a she, and it really is a sort of. I think it's better. You know, my conversations are more non-specific than that. And, you know, they definitely take place. But it's I think if you you've got to be careful what you wish for anyway. But I don't think that since you start putting some kind of model on it, I know we're supposed to be made in God's image, or is it the other way around? But it doesn't. I don't buy that really. It's far too complex, that kind of thing. So I'm not really religious in that way. I might be God fearing, but I don't quite know what it is that I'm frightened of.
And as you kind of shape a new show and then, you know, invite your audience, for those that don't know, is in the way you're shaping your show, rather than as a big philosophical question, where is your creative line between Judaism and Jewishness?
Well, that, funny enough, this new show is much more about that. Because prior to this, I was just writing sort of stories about my family members and people that I knew, and myself a little bit, and our relationships with Jewishness. And sometimes it was actually just a narrative of what had happened to them or to me, and it just so happened that the background to the narrative was Jewish, but the story was just a human story. In this particular show, I'm actually looking a bit more about what it means to be, at least to me, to be Jewish right now, and my relationship with the Jewish world and where I stand in it, what my feelings are. Some of those I've actually just expressed, really, about my relationship with the Almighty in inverted commas. But, you know, how you can be Jewish without being religious, how you can be a cultural Jew or a secular Jew and have a, you know, can be an atheist and still be Jewish. And, you know, if you, you know, you can stop being Jewish but on the outside, but can you be Jewish on the inside? So those are all the questions that I address. And I'm still very aware of what it might be like for non-Jewish people to be in the audience. What do they make of all this? So it's kind of educational, but really still what they're getting is a really crafted songwriting. and a good bit of storytelling. So again, I try and explain anything that might be specific, but most of the time I think most people are wrestling and searching and considering what their, you know, where, what their relationship is with their history and their heritage and their family, and whether they be Jewish or whether they're not. So I think the story still is universal.
And so, I mean, just coach me, how can I be atheist and Jewish?
Well, because you can be culturally Jewish. You can celebrate the fact that there's a kind of humour, there's a kind of a look, there's a kind of a talk, there's a kind of just a way of being, and it's sort of been, you know, I guess passed down from generation to generation and all that kind of thing. But it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the religious practice of it. Funnily enough, there's an article yesterday, or I think in The Guardian. But it's about the fact that Holocaust survivors are passing down the stress from their experience to, you know, it's now been scientifically proven, to their children. So therefore, that's kind of these environmental factors are passed down. So again, this kind of something that we recognise as, I suppose specifically Ashkenazi Jewish, that's from the Eastern Europe, there's a kind of character, there's a kind of neurosis, there's a kind of a quality that we know as being Jewish, and that you can be Jewish and have absolutely nothing to do with whether you believe in God or not, or whether you practice any of the rules and regulations as laid down by the 613 mitzvot in the Torah.
But is it diluting?
Yes, well, and again, addressed in the show, if you look at the statistics and everything, of course, marrying out means that, you know, in two generations' time, there probably will be very few Jewish people as we know it, so from that kind of more Ashkenazi recognisable quality. It will be, yeah, it's diluted in what it's changed, I would say. You know, something that, you know, our grandparents probably would have were absolutely terrified of. And they'd say things like, oh, you know, the people that marry out, you're doing Hitler's work for them. My grandparents were very disapproving of the Reform Jews, who had less regulations and were not quite as disapproving as about marrying out and all that kind of thing. And say, well, you know, they're worse than the goyim, is what they'd say. But the truth is that now, whether they like it or not, that is what's happening. And so, particularly in America, and everything, of course, is reflected, you know, in over here and in Europe. You know, most Jews are becoming secular. Most of them are not having anything to do with the culture and the background, and they're marrying out, and they are. And then the generation that follows is not taught any of the traditions, and so it goes on. The whole thing will die out. And I suppose something is about that. I'm trying to do is kind of keeping a little bit of that light alive. Even though in my own family, my experience, of course, my wife wasn't Jewish, my children aren't Jewish. And my grandchild, which I now have, is not Jewish. And again, everything, all of these things I address in the show.
Musically, is the music changing?
Well, there's a... I have a style. I have a just a way of writing songs and playing the piano that I think is uniquely me. And it's something, funnily enough, that was just being talked about earlier, Diddy King was saying. That, you know, have a unique voice. I found it. This is what I sound like. So musically, particularly when you really want people to hold on to a lyric, you don't want to be too... go to too many strange places with the music, yeah. Because you don't want to distract them. You want them to hold on to the story. And every single part of it and all the through lines and the callbacks in the lyrics are there for a purpose. So you've got to concentrate. Storytelling.
I guess I was thinking widely too, you know, because certainly in New York, there's New York hip-hop, Jewish
rap. Oh, yeah, well,
rap.
There is all that, yes, yeah. Of course. No, I mean, you know, when it comes down to it, I'm a man of a certain age. I sit at the piano and I play songs and I have my influences, yeah. And I do like singer-songwriters from a certain period. That's really where my influences come, mixed with a little bit of theatre, a little bit of musical theatre, not that much, and a little bit of, you know, classic comedy, Smart Aleck songwriting, you know, from Noel Coward to Victor Borgia to Tom Lehrer to all that kind of stuff. Everything is there, and I suppose the modern reference might be Tim Minchin, I suppose. So all that is all mixed up together, with a little bit of from my more musical songwriting background. So it's a particular, you know, say unique hybrid, let's call it that.
How do you cook up a new show?
Well, a clever person would write the narrative arc of the show and then write the songs that fitted the arc. And I just really, for this, under a certain amount of pressure, I just literally started writing some songs, saw what came out, knew that I had to deal with certain subjects, particularly in the aftermath of the business with the Underbelly and the boycott from last year, which was, and the consequent anti-Semitism from the Gaza conflict that happened last year. So I knew I had to address that. I had to address Israel. I had to address anti-Semitism. I had to address how do I feel as a modern 21st century Jew about Israel? And I have conflicting feelings, as I think most Jews have. And I also wanted to deal with the subjects of this dilution that you're talking about, the marrying out thing, and then various other stuff just sort of came to me. And then now, having got half a dozen or so songs, I have managed to thread a bit of a narrative arc around it, just about.
So I guess, you know, like drafting anything, do you find you've got too much material and you have to cut out?
I've had to throw away quite a few. Actually, I ended up writing about four or five songs about Israel, and I've dumped them, and I only kept one. Because, in a way, I think, not just that they weren't good enough, but it's such a complex subject, and it's so contentious and so likely to cause offence to somebody that I think you've got to be so measured and careful with it. So I've only ended up with one. And also, I just didn't want it to be, you know, Israel-heavy, because really, most of my preoccupation is not about that. I mean, you wouldn't think about it, and generally for Jewish people it's not about that, and generally for the world it's not about that. It's just, strangely enough, using that word disproportional, it's disproportionately represented in the news, the conflict over there.
This feels a bit like a Jewish question to ask you. Describe the job satisfaction.
What of writing Jewish material,
and you know, those moments on stage when you're in that zone where everything is going well?
Oh, it's nothing like it. It's great. It's great. Valid. I mean, obviously, I like the attention. Who doesn't? What's not to like, and all that stuff. But there is something that is so thrilling and joyful and life affirming when people are getting it, and they go away with a sort of general feeling about the world that is better than when they came in. And I am in some ways facilitating that. So that's the job satisfaction. And I really like it when there's some, you know, though I say it myself, some rather clever wordplay in there, and I can tell when people are getting it. And also, you know, make them cry, and that's also strangely satisfying. So all in all, there's nothing like it, nothing better, actually.
Daniel Kahner's uniqueness, if that uniqueness was encapsulated as Jewish food, what would that meal look like?
It looks like a bagel. What else would it look like?
What's the filling?
I'm going for the plain bagel. I'm just but partly, actually, and this is somewhere where in some ways I might be mildly fortunate, because I'm vegetarian, I can't really go with the classic filling. And because I'm also of a certain age where I've got to be careful about what's in the filling, I suppose, you know, cream cheese would be the ideal, but, you know, I can't possibly advocate that for myself or for anybody that might be listening to this.
Final question, which is, some people I've asked this question to haven't been able to answer it, and some people have. And it's just a little creative challenge. So there's your show, and there's what you do, and you've defined it very clearly, and I'm going to allow you to continue to do that into the future. But you'll set the challenge also of cooking up an entirely different show that isn't about anything Jewish and isn't what you currently do, and you're going to make it and you're going to put it out there. Have you ever dreamt up alternatives, or what might you create?
Yes, well, I have in the past. I mean, I've written a musical all about my divorce. That was thrilling, and it even had a couple of comedy numbers in it. So I always, you know, I wrote songs and stories and stuff before I became Jewish, and it is probably time to start breaking out of the ghetto a little.
But let me. I'm going to offer you some jobs, okay? And you can turn them down, okay? Taxi driver.
Oh, I see. You mean nothing actually related to
entertainment? No, I'm going a bit further now. So, taxi driver? You can say yes or no.
No, not taxi driver.
Okay. A clown?
I just went to see Puddles, so definitely not a clown.
Okay, a stand-up comedian?
Not enough versatility in the emotional range.
A rabbi?
Now you're talking. I could, I have considered that, actually.
Okay.
It'd have to be, because rabbis can sing these days.
Okay. Going into politics.
Too polarised.
Okay. A life coach for younger people.
Well, I'm doing that already.
Okay.
If I ever get any younger people to come into my show.
Okay. What about, doing other kinds of music?
Well, definitely doing other kinds of music, which I do sometimes anyway, and always have done music production and all kinds of things. And I'm certainly going for another show that isn't Jewish. But in terms of doing other kinds of music, well, yeah, I mean, it's just a bit difficult to recreate that. Excuse me, when you're just live, but I am doing other kinds of music anyway, actually, apart from this Jewish strand of stuff.
So, up for a bit of change, but still most definitely Daniel Kahner.
Oh, definitely. Daniel Kahner, Rabbi Daniel Kahner, I think you'll find.
Watch this space. Thank you very much, Daniel.